Cowboy Junction, I'm glad you're here today because I have with me the coolest chick I've ever met in my entire life, the one and only Heather the Bomb.com Bean.
Hi, guys.
Hey, everybody on our online campus, glad you're joining us today. Dad's probably watching right now, and he always calls me after or texts me after we tag team preach, and he says, you need to do that every weekend. I said, it's because of Heather, isn't it? He goes, absolutely. She makes you look good. And Dad's a big fan of you. You know that?
I'm a big fan of your family, too.
Yeah. So let me just tell you, today is a cool day. Today, our number one thing is we want to talk to you about vision, okay? So let me just stop and say, maybe you're not married here, and maybe you're single. Maybe you've been through a marriage. That's okay. Vision is something that I truly believe, not only personally, but wherever God takes you, we don't know what God has for your future. And if we start talking about vision that God has for your life, and we talk about vision for your marriage someday, this is a healthy conversation. You're going to find that there's a lot of deep meat here. But for marriage, we want to talk about vision. And vision is probably the one thing people don't sit down and ask each other, where are we going? What
right.
are we doing?
Right. And it's beyond vision. How do we express our vision? What is our hope and our dreams for our future as a married couple, as a single person believing for a spouse one day? And the number one way we have vision is we've got to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about communication in marriage, a lot of times we get pushback. People are like, oh, we're good. We have no issues. We're good. I have so many times where I talk to women. We run Simply Create on Wednesday nights. We have a Bible study here. So if you are a woman in the house and you want to get to know people and you want to study the Word of God, every Wednesday night we have Simply Create here in the sanctuary. And we study God's Word together. And so many times I'll have women talk to me before or after, and they'll say, man, I'm just wishing my husband would stop doing this. Or I wish my husband would do this more. And my first question is, so have you told him? Guess what the answer usually is? No. We expect everyone in our life to understand who we are, especially our spouse. But communication is one of the number one things that is lacking in a marriage. And you can't have vision. You can't know where you're going if you don't communicate. So we're talking today about communication.
Okay, so here's what we want you to do. Wherever you're at, watching online, or you're here, we're going to give you homework at the end of today's message. You are going to go on a date, okay? And if you're single, you probably need to go alone, okay? Don't just pick a random stranger and say, hey, you want to go just make a future for the rest of our lives together? That's probably a bad idea, okay? But I want you to really think about, I need to communicate the vision that's in my heart. Okay, the vision that I believe that God has taken us. Okay, so before we do that, let's pray. Would you pray over us?
Yes.
Okay.
Father God, we just thank you so much for today. I thank you for every single person in this room, whether they are married, whether they're divorced, whether they're single and have not even met someone yet. I thank you, Lord, that you know where each and every one of us are at. And today we open up our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let there be a seed for every single person in this room that is planted today in our heart, and a harvest would be reaped. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So here we go.
So with communication, though, something that we do need to talk about is there's different ways to communicate.
Right.
If we're going to start communicating, which I hope every single one of us are saying, yes, we've got to do that in our marriage, there are two ways to communicate. You either react or you respond. And you know there's a difference. And many times I am a reactor. Ty will say something and I'm like, ah! You know, I'm like so reactionary and scary.
No,
are you used to it?
Babe, I'm so used to it.
But that's what we do. We get our emotions built up and we react. But what we've been called to do is to respond. When you respond, reactionary is in the moment of your emotions. Responding is taking a moment to breathe and then giving an answer that is calm. And so it is important. It's not just important that we communicate, but how are we communicating? Another way we communicate is our body language. Mm-hmm. So many times we're like, you know, going to bed at night and just rolling over and giving the cold shoulder. And we think, oh, we're not talking. We're not talking. There's nothing bad happening. I'm not responding. I'm not reacting. I'm just not talking. But you don't realize your body language is saying everything. And so in our marriage, we have to be aware of how are we responding? Are we reacting? And what is our body language saying?
Is there anybody in the house that to prove a point in a marriage, you would love cameras to be in every room so that he or she can see how they really reacted? Anybody? Okay.
Yeah, when Dr. Phil used to do that, Dr. Phil used to have cameras, you know, when he would do his shows in people's homes and stuff, and we would always say, oh my gosh, I wish that was on camera because you are so wrong. That did not happen, or I did not say it that way. But again, we may be communicating, but how are you communicating? It's important to communicate.
So today we got four things and then homework after that we want to talk to you about, okay? And the first one is a big one.
Assumption is not communication.
Bum, bum, bum.
We cannot assume in our marriage that the way we're feeling, what we need, what we wish would stop. We cannot assume that the other one is getting it without communicating it to them. Ty spoke last week, and one of your points was we are complete opposites. In fact, if you don't know Ty and I very well, you don't know our story, we are oftentimes referred to as the unmovable force versus the immovable object. The unmovable force versus the immovable object. We are both very strong-willed people. We both can be like driven. And a lot of times that can be hard in communication. Some of you may say, well, we're not like that at all. My wife says everything and my husband says nothing, or vice versa. But communication is important no matter what category you find yourself in.
Because it's easy to think your love language is assumption. Come on, let that set in. Our love language is, he already knows me. He's got it all. I don't need to explain. I don't need to tell him. And I'm telling you, he doesn't know. And the same thing, guys, you're going to have to get better at communicating because assumption is not a love language. In fact, let's do something real quick, okay? Everybody in the room, take your finger and do this. Take one hand, do this, okay? Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes. Now, everybody point west. Which way is west? Okay, on the count, leave it there. You got to leave your hand there. Which way is west? Open your eyes on the count of three. Leave your hand. One, two, three. West is that way. Okay, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. How many would say, you're not going to tell me which way is west? My dad's been telling me which way is west from the beginning, and this is west, and you're wrong. You're wrong. And some of us can get so off. Maybe we didn't know. It was a guess. Maybe we got turned around. But if you assume that we're going to end up somewhere that we both want to be, but you don't communicate about it, you won't end up where you think you're going to end up. Okay? Let me read you a scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 13. Okay? Fools, crazy people, nutzos. Okay? Base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusion will be a wicked madness. And how many people have seen or have been in a marriage that just had wicked madness, all because things were not communicated about, but they were assumed upon. So your number one thing, and I know some of you may have this handle, you're so great at talking, but you may be assuming more than you should to sit down and talk, which that's probably one of the things about me you don't like. I like to talk.
Well, so a lot of times people will say it's the men in the relationship that maybe shut down and the woman comes in. And, you know, you've heard the stories of a man coming home from work. The wife's been with the kids all day and she just can't wait to now talk to the man. And what did you do at work? All this. It's the opposite for Ty and I. Mm-hmm. Even when we were dating, we would have spent the evening together. I remember one particular time he left for the night. We said our goodbyes. I was in the bathroom getting my face ready for bed, cleaning off my makeup and everything. And my mom comes back to the bathroom and she said, Ty's back.
Oh, say it the way she said it.
how did she say it?
Ties back.
Yeah. And so I went to the front door, you know, looking like a raccoon with my face half off. And
cutest thing I ever saw.
And he's like, hey, we need to talk. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, we've just been doing that for 2 hours. Can we not talk anymore? You know, but that's Ty. Like, if he has a thought, I'm going to hear about it. And I like quiet some, you know, I don't want to talk about everything. We're different people, and you have to figure one another out. And, but you cannot assume. You cannot assume that your spouse hates that, likes that, is happy if you're not talking about it, asking questions, and making sure that you're on the same page.
Yeah. So remember, in your communication, there's only two ways you respond. You're a reactor or a responder. And we highly, highly recommend responding more than reacting. Okay? Assume less, communicate more. Number two,
if you wait, you're late. Mm. So a lot of times I have people tell me, well, we don't have any problems. You know, we're doing good. We're happy. So communication's not necessarily something we need to do. But when a problem arises, now we need to communicate. And if we're waiting until a problem arises, then we are late. And why do I say that? We are late because a lot of times when problems arise, emotion is now involved. Feelings are now something we're having to deal with. And so looking at something from the middle of a problem versus before a problem happens is going to look totally different. How we can communicate when the feelings and the emotions are not as high compared to when things are good is totally different.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Maybe you look at that and you think, okay, that's why we're in trouble and we're doomed, because we waited to talk about stuff. We waited to make some changes. We waited to course correct. Okay, but I want to finish this. If you wait, you're late.
But you're not too late. You're not too late. So you can always start communication. It doesn't matter how far into your marriage you are. Communication can start today. When people say our marriage is doomed, there's no turning back. Let me tell you this. With man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so don't ever count it out as if your marriage is over. So Ty's got a little illustration for you guys to show you why and how it's not too late to start now.
It's on. There you go. So, if you didn't know, your car needs maintenance. Yes. Your tires, they need to be checked. You need to see what is the air pressure. Oh, woohoo! There we go. We're good. We need to know what the air pressure is. You must have oil regularly changed on your vehicle, okay? And for those that don't know, your car is going to run much better if it has gas. Maintenance is a key part to your successful driving to work, back home, where you want to go. Your car requires maintenance, but your marriage requires maintenance. If we treat our marriage the way that some people treat their vehicles, like, I know people who, the moment that they've used all the tread on their tires, they just go buy another vehicle. You think I'm joking. You know the people in Hawes, New Mexico, who it's like, I'll let the next guy take care of it. And that is not the attitude we want to bring into the marriage. When the tread is gone, we find another spouse. Your marriage requires maintenance. And so
there's also, though, a lot of people that take great pride in their car. Take a $40,000, $50,000 car, and you take great care in making sure it's spotless all the time. It's cleaned out. The kids get in the car, they have to take their shoes off and hold them in their lap. I mean, you, like, take your car very serious. Yet, something of so much more value, your marriage, and you take no time to walk around your marriage and say, kick the tires a little bit, look under the hood.
Oh, I like that part. What are y'all talking about? What is... You got to check under the hood.
It's so important for there to be maintenance in our marriage. So what does that look like?
Okay, so let me, no one probably ever told you this, because you're probably under the assumption that once you find the right one, okay, all my college kids here, you may be under the assumption, once I find the right one, it's just going to be smooth sailing. And all the married people said, well, there you go, okay? There's got to be maintenance. So here's my suggestion, and never forget this. You may want to write this down, okay? You've got to look at the availability of the opportunities around you. For instance, one of the greatest investments you'll ever make in your marriage, okay, is to go to a marriage conference. It may not be here at the church, at Cowboy Junction. There is a fantastic marriage ministry in Amarillo called XO Ministry with Jimmy Evans and his wife, and they have this incredible team. They put on regular conferences. They have them in Dallas. They have them in Houston. They have them in Seattle. They have them all different places. What would it look like if you took a marriage sharpening getaway? And let's say they're having a conference in Amarillo, and you just said, hey, we're going to get away. We're going to leave on a Thursday. We're going to go to a conference on a Friday night and Saturday and come home Sunday. And we're just going to be sharpened in our marriage. Don't wait until the tires are falling off to get help. Invest in the maintenance to just sharpen the way that you think, the way you communicate, what you do. Are you a responder or reactor? You've changed a lot since you've got married. You can be 5 years and be a completely different person in your marriage. 10 years. Invest in getting away and going to some conferences. Sitting down and just communicating your hopes and dreams and to figure out, kind of like what we're doing here today, that regular maintenance on your marriage and knowing your spouse better.
Well, I also think people think that maintenance requires a major tune-up. A major tune-up's not required when you start to communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, if it becomes a regular thing in your relationship to just say, how are you doing? Is there anything that I've been assuming that maybe I shouldn't be assuming? What are you dreaming about? Is there something in your heart that you've maybe been carrying that I haven't given you the space to share? And what does that look like? And just making it be, you know, we can say all day long conferences. I love conferences. I want to go to conferences. But some people, it's not realistic. And I get that. So what is some maintenance that you can do that's more less costly or time consuming? Talk to your spouse. Communicate. Talk about the future hopes and dreams that you have and what you need.
So let me tell you what you're available at here at Cowboy Junction. We have an amazing group of people who are family focused here at Cowboy Junction. Abby and Chris, who are going to be speaking in a couple of weeks, are so great at being those folks that help us walk through and kick the tires on our marriage and our family. Mondo is an incredible marriage counselor and loves to sit down with people. And I do too. It's that sometimes it puts a relationship gap in between us. You can say, Tybee's the coolest thing in the whole world, and then come sit in my office and tell me something that embarrasses you, and I never see you again. And I don't want that to happen. So let me tell you something that would help us a lot with you. Don't come and get help, or don't come and see us when you've already said we're getting a divorce. And they're the last. If Ty can't fix this, then we're going to go ahead and get divorced. I can't fix that. What I can do is turn and say, okay, listen, while things are going good right now, while things are at least moving, start working on the maintenance in your marriage to kick the tires and to sit down and start the communication that is so important for the success of your marriage.
Yeah, so number one was assumption is not communication. Two was if you wait, you're late, but not too late. And number three is you must communicate the vision.
Yeah.
The scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:26, you want to share that?
Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly like Phoebe on Friends. Mm-hmm. That was the added part of Ty, okay. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. This is such a perfect scripture because sometimes we're running and we don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
So you must communicate the vision.
So A lot of times people don't understand when we talk about marriage, it's the two becoming one.
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't get that because he's still him, I'm still me. How are we becoming one? When people say, do not be unequally yoked, that also can relate to marriage. And what does that mean? So when two ox come together with a yoke around their neck to plow a field, the stronger ox is going to dictate the direction that that team goes. It's the same way in marriage. When we come together under the yoke of marriage, connecting the two of us to becoming one, if we're not communicating, the stronger one in the team is going to dictate which way we go.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to stand up and say, as maybe the weaker ox, and say, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hoping, this is what I'm dreaming, then you can't expect to go any different than the way that the stronger ox is going. Does that make sense? And so if we're not communicating the vision, so many times people are like, I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we ended up here. I don't know why we're not moving. Like, we are stuck. We are stagnant. Well, it is all dependent upon who you're linked to. And are you allowing them to take you a direction that's not the direction you want to go? You have to communicate the vision of where you want your future to be.
Or being that one that is the stronger voice, the stronger individual, who is just going to do it your way and everybody else can come along with your vision. And you find yourself not being able to carry what two people could carry.
Right.
You're doing it all alone, and burnout, resentment, hurt feelings, anger, and reaction is going to come out of you carrying this family. But it's your own fault. You can go further and last longer when you are equally yoked through communication. And let me tell you some things that you need to sit down and talk about. Where is our finances headed? And the reason why that's a big deal is because Heather and I love having fun, but one day we asked the question, what would life look like if we were debt free? And we had to really sit down and we had to really see the vision behind owing no one anything. What would it look like then to be generous? What would it look like then to save, actually have a savings? If you owe no one anything and you got to be generous and you got to build a strong savings, and then we got to go have fun. We haven't quit having fun. But when we began to cast vision and talk about it and we began to communicate the vision, Heather and I got on board. And now all of a sudden, when I'm sitting there thinking, should I choose the pork chops or the filet mignon? I know the vision. And it's roses.
You know, I think a lot of times we get angry with our spouse for their choices when it comes to finances. We nitpick what they do, how they spend. They're not a saver. I'm a saver. They're a spender. They have a lot of hobbies and it's requiring a lot of our money. But the thing is it's not about telling your spouse what they shouldn't spend or what they shouldn't do. It's communicating the vision. And when you're on board for where we want to be, the things that bother us change. Because we have the vision before us. And that scripture that Ty just read about, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly, like I have no finish line. Well, my goodness, Phoebe's a perfect example. I mean, she's running like a crazy woman. And
having a blast, but no one's having fun watching her.
No. And so we don't want to be like the fighter, the one that's boxing, beating the air, beating the shadow. What is our goal? And when our goal and our vision for our finances is expressed, and you may say, you know what? Our finance goal is not to be debt-free. We just want to have fun. But you're on the same page. You at least know what the expectations of one another are.
Okay, so personal story with Heather and I. We had the boys in Junction Christian Academy. We had them in public school, too. And we just came to the conclusion, I'm a public school kid. Heather's a public school kid. I had a blast in public school. But we needed to make a decision about our boys. Now, this is just our decision. But we knew not everybody would agree with the decision we were about to make. And we needed to be on board to see if the decision was right for our family. And it was homeschool. This was the best avenue that we felt like education-wise for our kids to prepare them for college, and college could come earlier now.
But you also have to know that I was going to be the one homeschooling. And I had said for years, when my oldest, Brady, had asked me if I would homeschool him, I had said for years, you have got to be out of your ever-loving mind. That is like never going to happen.
And I feared for Brady's life, too.
It just wasn't going to happen. But when our youngest son was diagnosed with dyslexia and we knew that something had to be different, it was something that no one else agreed with. No one else understood
because
we did this back before it became cool. Homeschool's now kind of cool, you know, post-COVID. We were pre-COVID making these decisions, and our family didn't understand. But it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks when you two know the vision.
Yeah.
And now our oldest graduated his senior year of high school, graduated from college, and our youngest is graduating from college next year. And all of that can be done because we were on the same page, knowing what was best for our family. So just know, not everyone has to agree with your vision, but you have to know the vision for your kids, for your finances, for your personal hopes and dreams. You have to know the vision.
Where do you want to go? How are you going to get there? Let's put a plan together. And you have to communicate the vision. No assumptions. You have to communicate the vision. Fourth one.
The fourth and final one. Are there any words of correction that God is speaking to you? Are there any words of correction that God is speaking to you? Because communication that we need to start is not just between husband and wife. Communication is also happening from our Heavenly Father to us.
Yeah.
He's talking all the time. Are we listening? He's speaking to us. He's asking things of us. He's showing us things. But are we listening to the things that Holy Spirit is sharing with us? Psalms 139, 23 through 24 is one of Ty's favorites.
Search me. Oh God, search me. And would you please know my heart? Okay. Please know my heart. And know the thoughts that I have. Okay. And see, God, is there any wicked way in me? Okay, anywhere, show me. And then I want you to lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. This is one of the healthiest prayers you can ever pray. To be honest with yourself, why am I fighting for this one thing so hard? Why am I scared? Why am I willing to walk away from our unity to fight for this in my life? God, help me be honest. Let me be honest with myself and let me be honest with you. And then let me be honest with my spouse. Heather's a great one that I can turn to and say, okay, the reason I'm fighting this so much is because this is what's going on in my head. I'm scared. I'm nervous. We've never journeyed this way before. Same vice versa. She can come to me. But honestly, the most healthy thing that can happen for your communication to be better is if before you go to your spouse, you get alone with your father and just simply pray, God, is there any wicked way in me? Search my heart, search my mind. I want to follow your path. God, change me before we even sit down and talk. But I have to be honest with you before I can be honest with her.
So, and as you can see in knowing us, we are two very strong-willed people. Mm-hmm. But the reason that I don't always agree with Ty, but the reason that we make it work and I can come to terms with maybe a decision he's made that I don't quite agree with is because I know that he's seeking the Father. I know this man hears Holy Spirit. And when you can trust that in your spouse, when you can know that you know that you know that they are on their knees before the Lord and they're asking him for guidance, then when you don't agree, you can come to a point where you say, you know what? I'm not quite getting what you're saying. I'm not even quite on board with it. But Holy Spirit, I trust you and I trust that he is seeking your face. And so again, that's where you go into the response over reaction, because I can slow down and say, God, I know you're working on him. I know you're speaking to him. And he still may be wrong, but if he is wrong, I know he hears your voice and he'll come around and things will be shifted.
Yeah, it's happened a lot in our marriage. Heather's been sold out on one thing. I've been sold on another. But when we both humbled ourselves and allowed God to be honest, we got to be honest with God, he pulled us together. I tell you, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing in us. But we got some homework for you guys.
Wait,
okay?
We cannot miss Job 33:14. Yeah. Real quick, Job 33:14. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. So many times I talk to people who say, but God doesn't speak to me. And I just want to remind you that God is speaking. He's speaking all the time, and you are very capable of hearing his voice. How do I know that? Because the word of God says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Mm. and you are the sheep of God, and he is our great shepherd, and he is speaking, and you have the ability to hear his voice. Maybe not audibly, but in your spirit, you will hear his voice. How do we learn that? It's a process. There's a great book out called Practicing His Presence. You have to sit before the Lord and be still. And you have to allow him to wash over you. And as you begin to do this time and time again, hearing his voice is going to become so much simpler with every time you come before the Lord. And so we've got to slow down. A lot of people say, well, I don't have time. They don't make time. A lot of reasons that we also don't hear what the Lord is saying is because we don't want to. How many have ever had something in your life where you're like, you already know the answer. You don't want to hear God tell you. Because now if you let him tell you, now you're walking in disobedience. So it's one thing to go and do your own thing because you don't know. But once you know, now you're walking in disobedience. So there's a couple of reasons we don't hear the Lord's voice. But you need to know the truth is that he's always speaking and you do have the ability to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Now the homework.
Are you ready for your homework? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the way Heather and I envision this is a date night. You taking a drive, go out to eat somewhere. Great recommendation, go to Rose's.
Does anybody know the manager of Rose's? Because I need a discount card for sponsorship. Is that possible? Maybe.
So... picking up your favorite food and then driving to the park, sitting out on a picnic table with your spouse and sitting down and asking a couple questions, okay? Question number one, where are we going? And he may go, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that, so don't react. Just respond by saying, okay, where are we going with our personal relationship with Jesus? Are we growing with Jesus? Are we growing together in Jesus? I think that's a real important question. Where are we going with our faith? Number two, where are we going with our finances? If we were both on the same page, wouldn't that be great? What if we just started casting vision? Like Heather and Ty, they sat down and said, can you imagine if we were debt-free? Can you imagine if we were debt-free? Where, if we had the money, where would the first place we'd be generous towards? Where, how much do you think we could, when we're debt free, how much do you think we could save in 1 year? I mean, 1 year, if we owe no man anything, how much do you think we could put in savings? That's kind of fun to think about. If we were completely debt free and we had saved so much and we had been generous, where would some place that you and I would want to go that we had never dreamt about getting to go before?
I think also asking the question, where are our kids going? I think a lot of times there are internal concerns we have for our children that we don't share with our spouse. Like, I'm worried about their behavior. Yeah. I'm worried about their future. And are we as a couple communicating and praying together over our kids? Ooh. Is that something that's happening? And that is a great question to ask. Where are we going?
So on your date day, okay, the first thing you're going to talk about is, where are we going? Because we need to know. No assumptions, communication. Where are we going? The second one is very important to me, and it is, who can we trust? It is so vital for you to think about the people who are for you and the God plan in your life and the ones who could really derail your life.
Yeah.
It's an important question for every couple to sit down and say, we've been married for X amount of years now. Who do we just need to sit down and say, these are the people we can trust in our life?
Well, and you've said this for as long as I've known you. There are two ways to learn, mentors and mistakes. And most people spend their life learning by the mistakes that they've made. And what if we could stop that? What if we could learn how to do marriage well by having a mentor in our life? Probably every single one of us have thought about the young people today and even said this. The young people who they hang out with will affect where they go and who they become. Would y'all agree? But the same thing happens with our marriage. We think as a married couple, we can hang out with a toxic couple and we could live godly lives as a married couple. And the fact of the matter is who we hang out with will affect our marriage as well. Mm-hmm. And so if you hang out with a couple that the man is always going out and the wife is going on trips all the time with their girlfriend and there's no communication, and you think hanging out with them is not affecting your marriage, you couldn't be more wrong. Who you hang with affects your marriage, and having a mentor is so much better than going through mistakes.
Okay, so one thing about mentors, you don't have to have their phone number for them to be a mentor. You may not be able to go to their house. There are people I have never met in my entire life who I have heard the way that they point me to Jesus and God's best for my life, and they sharpen me, and they have no clue who Ty Bean is, and I only have a relationship with them through things that I've purchased from them, books and material or YouTube, but they are people that I can say, truly, I trust them. Truly, I trust them because they point me to Christ. Now, you may never get to sit down with Heather and I, but you can call us pastors. Because you know that every time you come into this place, we may not be able to hang out with Ty and Heather, but God's put them in our life because these are people we can trust to always point to Jesus. So there's going to be relationships you have and some that you don't. But you just know those people have been put to be voices in your life, and trust them.
Okay. You also said last service something I thought was really good is the people that were in our circle years ago mm-hmm. are on the outside of our circle now. And people that maybe we didn't even recognize as being important in our life that were on the outside have become people on the inside. And something we need to realize is that there are seasons of relationships in our life. And that cutting away, that disconnect, should not be something that scares us. It should actually be embraced, and also recognizing that it can change very quickly.
Okay, so you're sitting at a park bench, you're talking, you're looking at each other, and you just got through asking, where are we going? You just got through asking, who can I trust? The third one is so important, and it is,
what would it look like if everything turned out well?
Because I think that's so important for you to just get the fact that it'd be fun to think about how different life would be if everything turned out the way we dreamed yeah. it would. What would our life look like if a year from now we're pursuing Jesus together? Can you imagine?
And I know this is corny, but I think making a dream board together would be really cool.
I am not a dream board kind of guy. Heather is.
Well, I think there's different ways of learning. I think you can learn by auditory ways or visual.
And tell me.
I think visual sometimes is very important.
I love
it. You're leaned in, aren't you?
I'm leaned.
Are you excited? Today we're going to do a dream board. Yes.
Check the hood. Check under the hood.
Jesus, we just pray right now.
Stop.
Okay. Dream board may not be what everybody wants to do, but seeing the vision of where we're going, like, what does life look like? I truly believe, as hard as our marriage was in the first 2 years and where we are now at 23 years, I see 40 years being even better.
Yeah.
I believe too many marriages think, man, when my kids are gone, what are we going to have in common? What are we going to even like to do together? And I honestly, as much as I love my boys, Brady's almost 21 and Hudson's 18, we're close to being just the two of us. And I have more fun with him than I could with anybody. And I'm excited about what that looks like. Are you even talking about it? Are one of you scared to death for the kids to move out and the other one's getting a cruise planned? Are you talking about it? What does it look like? What does your future look like? What if it turned out well? What would that look like? And then what steps does it take to get there? Because it is possible, especially when our focus is Jesus and we're letting him search us daily and take the things that we don't need in our life anymore.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Heather and I are rarely up on the stage together, and we probably should be more. But we pray for you and we believe for you. And I want, Heather and I are going to pray, and we're going to believe for you, but there's so many different stories in the book, in this room today. There's single people. There's recently lost your loved one people. There's married short amount of years, married a long time But Heather, I want to pray a blessing that wherever you're at, you would catch the vision for what God wants to put as your finish line, as your run towards, as your discipline your life for this reason. Whatever it is that God's speaking in you, for you to say, I need to be honest and communicate. And I need to sit down and I need to get the vision God has for me. And that may also include for me and my spouse. Okay? So here's how we're going to do it. If you're in this room and you would go, yeah, I'm tired of running aimlessly. I'm tired of running all over the place. And I'm ready to line my life up to the true north, Jesus Christ. I'm ready to run with a mission and vision of God's best for my life. Heather and I would like to pray for you. Would you just have the courage to stand up right where you're at? If it's not something you want, stay seated. But if that's something you would like in this closing prayer, would you just stand to your feet? One, two, three, go. So cool. Okay. All right, babe. Here we go.
Father God, we just believe right now for every single person that has stood to their feet. Lord, I don't know their story, but the awesome thing about you is that you do. You knew the beginning and you also know the end, and you see their heart right now of just saying, God, I surrender. What do you want to do? What do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do in this new season of life, of singleness? What do you want to do in this season of walking through divorce? What do you want to do, Father God, in these early years of our marriage? And for those that have been married for a long time, you're not done with our story yet. You've got something even greater on the horizon, not just coasting, but ministry and purpose for the kingdom of God. What do you want to do, Lord? We just pray right now a blessing over every person in this room that is standing to their feet saying, yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, work through me. Yes, Lord, give me a vision for what your purpose and your future is for my life. Lord, I pray for strong marriages in this room. I pray for those that feel that they're on the threshold of it ending and that they would look to you and you would bring a ray of hope into their eyes, Lord, that communication would rise up and it would be good communication. It would be responding to one another, to listening to your voice, to letting things die inside of them so that the other one might live. Father, we are declaring right now that the rate of divorce through the Christian homes is declining right now in the name of Jesus. We will stand in the gap as Ty and I, as a married couple and leaders of this church, we will stand in the gap for others, praying and believing that you are not finished with the story of marriages, that our legacy that we will leave will be a great one that will be shared for years to come. Lord, I pray a protection over homes. I thank you, Lord, that men are rising up to lead their families, not just in dictatorship, but in surrendering to you and saying, come, follow me as I follow Christ. God, we're so thankful for what you've done, what you're doing, and that you're not going to finish. You're not going to stop until you're finished completely with us. The story, if it's not good, God's not done. And we thank you for that, Lord. Yeah. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet.